Newsbiscuit. Real fake news.
Welcome to Newsbiscuit, the UK's original fake news. Newsbiscuit, the real reason Boris had to quit. I'm your host, Renfo, and I'm joined by four leadership hopefuls. Chip Chase.
Morning.
Freya D.
Hello.
The Bruce Meister.
Hello.
And Ian Searle.
Hello.
This month, Boris Johnson quits in shame, which causes his ex-wives an attack of deja vu. Liz Truss accidentally tweets that she will hit the ground on day one as PM, although to be fair, she'd probably miss. And Liz Truss also says, I'll put an end to Stalinist housing targets, because of course, the worst thing about Stalin was cheap housing. So that brings us to our first round news in brief, where our panelists select their favourite headlines. Ian Searle, what do you have for us?
Lego brand to be replaced in Russia by communist blocks. Then I went for Chris Pincher blames nominative determination for his actions.
It is wonderful that his name matches up. I'm assuming he's going to be replaced as an MP by someone called sort of Gropey McGropeface.
I said Tony Groper.
The curious thing is, of course, he's the guy that kind of triggered the Boris Johnson downfall. Yeah. But I suspect in a month's time, we won't even vaguely remember because Boris had so many things that went wrong with him. Chris Pincher's just going to be a pub quiz question, isn't he?
Probably Boris will be back in a month's time.
Well, that's it.
He technically hasn't left, has he? He's got squatter's rights on number 10. And he's got to steam off all that lovely wallpaper and take it home with him.
Yeah. Man happily surprised to find out that all the fast track places have been sold at the airport.
I assume if you want to sort of fast track at an airport, don't you just claim to be a Rwandan refugee and they put you to the front? In fact, Priti Patel haven't been taken off yet. Well, they're still sitting on the same plane. Having to watch the same reruns of the same show, whatever it is. Well, I went to Russia once upon a time. I think it was my first time in an airplane. That was the thing. It was first time in an airplane. I went to Russia and I was all excited about what the in-flight movie was going to be. I was like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. And we got one episode of Midsummer Murder on repeat. They just did it on a loop. Oh my God. If I could have jumped from that plane, I would have done. It was horrendous.
My favorite thing, I saw The Matrix on a Film to America once, but they bleeped all of the swear words and everything, but including things like hell. So instead of God damn it, they said, gosh darn it, Cypher. And there was another bit where instead of go to hell, they said, go to Hades. It was great. They replaced asshole with egg hole.
Egg hole.
Egg hole.
Egg hole sounds worse.
Yeah, I know.
It does, actually.
It's not an egg hole.
What's going on with your kind of sexuality? It's an egg hole. Is it? I don't think it is.
For some, perhaps.
This is a process called boulderizing, isn't it? To take out all the swear words and make it suitable for anyone that's sitting on the plane. And I think my favorite has got to be melon farmers. Apparently in Die Hard, Bruce Willis says, yippee-ki-yay, melon farmers.
But again, melon farmers, it's got a kind of 70s sex comedy kind of vibe. He's a melon farmer. Well, we all know what that's a euphemism for, don't we?
Isn't that a song by the Wurzels?
No. Yes.
I'm thinking that Chris Pincher is going to be replaced by someone melon farmer. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Line up, ladies. Let me farm your melons. Said the foreign secretary.
Tractor guy, won't it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's doing the rounds at the moment, trying to sort of reinvent himself, isn't he? I saw him in a couple
of in his defence, all he did was look at some tractor porn.
Yeah.
Whereas, and he was made to, like, leave the country and shave his head or whatever it was. Yeah. And Chris Pincher's been, you know, grabbing buttocks for decades.
I hate to be naive here, but what actually is tractor porn? Is it some sort of better combine or, a new exciting shiny plow or...
Drills. You could plow my furrow, you know. Yeah.
Look at the wheels on that.
Yes, my rotary hoe is something to be seen.
The Bruce Meister, what have you got?
I was shocked by this one, really. Radio DJ has consensual relationship with adult female. I thought, good God, is this what we pay our TV license for? Yeah. Really? I mean, now, back in the 60s, you could get a quality DJ who views virtually everybody, really.
Now, I'm in charge of the NewsBiscuit archive. So what I do is I kind of recycle old stories from the site and put them up onto NewsBiscuit. And you get kind of reoccurring themes. So like the Prime Minister is a moron, poor people are treated dreadfully. But what is a common theme is DJ molest someone. It crops up almost every month as a storyline. Yes. So it's not even as if it's just one or two people. I think it is a prerequisite for the job.
Yes, it is. You can see those episodes of Top of the Pops that they rehash. They're suddenly reduced to, you know, they suddenly cut halfway because whoever the DJ is now doing 9 to 5 in the big house somewhere.
And even when it does cut to the DJ and we see them, they're usually grabbing the people in the audience, aren't they?
Entwined.
And yet you wouldn't think DJs would get much of opportunity to sort of grab people because aren't they in a little booth somewhere, locked off from everyone else?
I think it's like physically in the booth.
You don't think it happens in the booth? Oh. Oh, in my mind.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the booth. It must also happen in the booth.
The flip side of this for me is that when they come up, it says so-and-so has been molesting people. And who? I've never heard of these people.
No, but that's because they molest our generation. So they know. Circle of life.
Circle of life. This big circly gropey hand that comes around like Mr. Tickle.
Oh, that's horrible.
Now they're British molesters since Brexit, of course.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Something to be proud of.
Homegrown, no imports here. Yeah.
What else you got, Bruce?
Tories succeed in having names like evil overlords.
Which Tory name, then, out of the leadership candidates, was the most evil sounding, in our opinion, then?
Mordant. It's Mordant, so evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And offset by Penny. That nice juxtaposition of Penny.
That's how they get you.
Because it's Daisy Voldemort, isn't it? Is his real name. You think, Mordant. And she made a big deal, didn't she, Penny, about her naval background. And it turns out is she's seen a belly button once. Yeah. And that's the extent of her naval.
To be fair, she has been on the Isle of Wight ferry. So, that's good enough for me.
As a pirate.
To be honest, I'd have backed her if she was a pirate. I'd have been really game.
Yes, at least a pirate is characterful. It's how Boris got elected. We've had a clown, let's have a pirate now.
They've got to pass some level of organisation and fun, you know?
Is that what you see in piracy as? Is a combination of organisation and fun.
We've had a clown, we want a pirate. Are we going to work our way through all the episodes of Mr. Ben?
I think all the characters are children's entertainers for your party. It's basically the Tory faithful are all sort of five. And they go, we've had a pirate, we've had a clown, and I want a space woman. And that's where distrust comes in.
Yeah, distrust. Perfect.
Sorry, just on a tangent, did you see that wonderful video of Liz Truss in the school with all the kids?
And
the
kid looks so good.
Is that the one with the kid at the start goes, this is so embarrassing. And I thought, yeah, you've read that scene really well. There's a great Liz Truss videos. I mean, she is an absolute comedy goldmine. There's the one with the speech she gave recently where she finished the speech and she couldn't find the exit door. And she's wandering around, which in itself is genius, but someone edited over the top the soundtrack to a sheepdog trial. So it's
one man on the store.
The sheep, it can't find its way out. It's moving around, but it is proper funny.
He should have been in charge for Brexit because we'd still be in Europe if she'd been in charge. Yes. He'd never found a way out.
We would have joined the Soviet bloc by now. I can see her doing some interviews saying, I want to be the people's prime minister.
She'd be probably sat astride a great big cannon or something like that.
Yes.
See, they've got a. Did you see the photograph of her dressed identically to Margaret Thatcher?
Isn't it?
Did you see the picture of Jacob Rees-Mogg where clearly in the background he's got his Dementor cloak hanging on the door? That's what you do when you're
Ian, I think you find you can't take a photograph of Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Like,
he leaves no reflection either.
Photoshop.
It was probably an artist's impression then.
Yeah.
UK hotter than Europe, another Brexit dividend. I thought that's the one for Jacob Rees-Mogg.
I've discovered that you can kind of change your mindset, you know, if you're negative about things in the world. Anything that's bad happening to you or around you, if you just describe it as a Brexit dividend, it puts a positive spin on it. It's like, stage 4 cancer, Brexit dividend, though. And you're like, hey, that's all right, then. I've done well. You make sweet love to someone and you say, and they, you say, did you climax? And they go, well, no. And you go, well, Brexit dividend. See, everything, Brexit dividend, at the end of it, everything sounds positive.
It's rather like adding Nazi to make everything evil, really, isn't it?
Yes, Nazi jam.
Yes.
It didn't sell as well as it should have done. Chase.
Sunak resigns to spend more time with his money.
He's a very wealthy man. Or at least his family's very wealthy.
Well, can you call 770 million wealth? I can.
You're really worried about inflation, aren't you, Chase?
Yeah, you see.
That was wealthy last week. This week.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was going to say to our listeners at the start of this episode, that was a working wage.
A working wage. By now, it'll just about buy you a stamp, frankly.
Yeah,
did you see that video of him, like, it must have been in his 20s, saying, oh, yeah, I've got friends from all over, you know, middle class, working class. Well, not working class.
President Biden sends message of support to Theresa May. Diner Rod to arrive at number 10 to deal with an unflushable turd.
Just too close to home, frankly.
It's like more like a true biscuit, isn't it?
You would assume, though, that Johnson has blocked the toilets. I mean, he looks like the kind of guy who regularly goes to people's houses. And just, well, I'm sorry, I've just brought the toilet. I was thinking number 10 as well, when the next person who goes in, they're going to find like naked interns behind various bits of furniture just left by Boris.
Man creates web telescope by closing his eyes and rubbing them really hard.
That is the effect, isn't it?
I mean, they're lovely photographs, but they could have been anything. Could have been inside a kaleidoscope or anything.
NASA could get away with an awful lot, can't they, in terms of faking stuff? I'm not suggesting the moon landings initially faked, but they definitely were. But I don't think that's up for debate. We know they didn't happen. But we have to take their word for everything that they do. There's no one who's verifying it. There's no little alien sitting with a clipboard going, yes, they definitely came here.
They should have taken the advice that was in Viz a few years ago. They used to have a problem page and it said, mothers, rather than buy expensive binoculars, just move closer to the object that you wish to see. Surely.
I had that same sort of philosophy when it comes to HS2. If you want to get to Birmingham half an hour earlier, just get an earlier train. That's all.
Really? You could have saved the country billions. Well, I mentioned this earlier, you fool. Freya, what have you got?
Rees-Mogg rules out throwing his pith helmet into the ring. I like that a lot. Slut shame nightmare of newly naked Lincoln Cathedral. I liked that one a lot.
Is Lincoln Cathedral naked? What's happened?
It's naked now. The scaffolding's been removed and now it's all.
In my head, I was going, are they clothing churches? Are they going to putting cassocks around them so that we're not too aroused by the sight of medieval architecture?
Look at the gargoyles on that.
Ed Miliband enters Mars orbit. And I just like the idea of him just sort of like drifting, rotating, like, oh no, through space.
I think those who can remember Ed Miliband's leadership campaign and general election campaign, it did have a touch of that vibe about it. Sort of desperation and cluelessness. Yeah, only in relative to the idiots who've come since. I mean, he did seem dreadful at the time. We just didn't realise that he was the best, maybe.
Same syndrome. I thought after Trump, God, wouldn't you just love Ronald Reagan to be back again?
The great thing about it is, you know, with Boris, you go, gosh, the bar is as low as it can. And the Tory party leadership candidates just go, hold my pint. It's going to get worse.
I saw something once that said, you thought the bar couldn't get any lower, but here you are limbo dancing with the devil. I love that so much.
I mean, it says something that I'm looking back thinking, do you know what? John Major wasn't that bad.
Exactly. You see, yeah.
Correct. But he did have sex with Edwina Curry.
That image is back again. Oh, no.
To this day, it's the one news headline I still don't believe, and I've seen a lot of implausible ones. I can't visualise John Major and Edwina Curry together.
Why are you trying to?
It's the only way I can maintain an erection, Freya. Don't judge me. You take what you can get.
I like the idea that in your house you've got like frantic sketches all over the wall.
Maybe it was like this. Maybe no. Yes, I've got the sort of dummies that I've got.
Neil, please come for dinner.
No, I've almost cracked it. It's like the riddle of the Sphinx. I've got to work out these body parts work together.
Oh, you know that film where he's building the mountain with like mashed potato? Like it's too
it's me, a big mash sculpture of a wiener of John going at it like rabbits.
Yeah. Winner for that's a shoe-in for the winner of the Turner Prize if you can get it sorted.
Right, yeah. Okay. And what else, Fred? What else?
Nazi sex parties, not as forgettable as one first hope. I love that.
Well, speaking of someone who's been to many a Nazi sex party, I think this references this is Max Mosley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a few years ago, who obviously the son of a Nazi. Let's call it what it is. But he had kind of various Nazi sex parties, didn't he? And then tried to bring out kind of injunctions to stop people talking about it. Or at least he'd said to people, yeah, just stop talking about it. Stop talking about Nazi sex parties. And of course, it's the only bit you can now focus on. It's that phrase.
That's the only thing I know about him.
It's like a Wiener and John, you know, you can't unring that bell.
I like the idea that Nazi sex parties not as forgettable as one first hope kind of goes for accidentally going to a Nazi sex party.
What, like dressing up? Like the theme of this party is... Is it Vickers and no, it's Nazis. We're gonna get, you know, Prince Harry turn up for that sort of thing. And then, also this kind of fits Bruce's theory about putting the word Nazi next to anything just ruins it. You're at a perfectly good sex party, everyone's having a lovely time, and then just someone goes, and now Nazi hour. And you're like, oh, you ruined it. Oh, well, we're gonna have to go home now. Pack the loop.
Boris placed on zip wire watch. That's
so dark. Yeah, yeah. But yes, I like the idea that Boris might inadvertently die by something that he's associated with. So falling off an imaginary bridge. That would be quite good. Yeah.
He'd be run over by a bus.
Get run over by a bus. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he did fall in a swamp or something. There's a video of him.
He fell in a swamp.
Yeah, no, is it Shrek that we're confused with?
I won't take this Shrek slander because Shrek has integrity and wit.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of troll babies he doesn't acknowledge.
Shrek is an excellent father.
That's a line I didn't think we were going to get, but thank you for that one. Our next round is True Biscuit, where our panel has to guess which is a real headline and which is a fake one.
Even the man who created Comic Sans has only used it once.
Who invents a font? That's such a weird thing to invent, isn't it?
Yes, some fonters or something like that. I don't know
which is the one who had sex with all his family and the animals and things.
I don't know.
This was the guy who did the statue outside Broadcasting House. Is that the same guy?
Yes. Which is a really noncy statue when you look at it, because it's an elderly man groping a naked young child, and that's the statue outside the BBC.
Do I have to boycott the fonts?
I think you
can
boycott the nonce. You should boycott the nonce as well. I think he's one of the Sans ones. Sans Giles?
Sanskrit.
Sans.
You know what?
You're gonna have to spend the afternoon googling strange noncy fonts. And
ironically, isn't Sans, doesn't that mean without the fiddly bits?
Yeah.
Which is definitely not. And is nonce font worse than Nazi font?
No, I don't. It's close second if it's not.
Nazi fonts, and because none of you guys watch the football very much, but I do. The women's Euros are going on at the moment, and the British team, in terms of their numbers on the back of their shirts, they've gone for the same font that the SS used during the Second World War. I'm not exaggerating. You should Google it. Me and my wife go, why have they put that on? And that is a Nazi font right there.
Oh, like some sort of Gothic. It's Gothic, isn't it? It's like a kind of Gothic script.
Yes. It's got that vibe about it.
After J.K. Rowling came out with a load of rogue stuff, everyone sort of started reading Harry Potter and being like, oh, are these goblins a bit anti-Semitic? Yeah. All this kind of stuff. Is it the same case where you look at the font and you're like, ah, oh, now you know he's a pedo. Like, this font is a bit pedo.
Yeah, like, that tree looks like a couple of boobs. I never noticed it before. So, okay, back to your story, though, John. I can't even remember what the hell it was. It was something to do with fonts. Oh, the guy in Comic Sans, he's only used it once.
He's only used it once.
It's a much derided font, isn't it? And I didn't know this until I've been using it for years.
Those emails you keep sending me, I haven't the heart to tell
it. Why is it people hate it? Is it because it looks a bit jokey?
Yeah, it's a bit too... I think people sort of laugh at it because it's a bit too jokey, too fun, too jolly.
Do we not want fun in our lives?
Yeah, no. Of course we do.
No, so Okay, no fun. And that's a Brexit dividend right there.
Yes,
he only used it the once. Was that literally he'd invented it in his head and he wrote it down and he went, oh, that is dreadful. But yeah, he then went, but I will now release it to the world.
I think it's true. That's...
And if it isn't true, it should be.
I'm going to go against the tide here because it is my absolute favourite font.
Yeah, and you know, for NewsBiscuit, there's a lot of our material that just isn't that funny. But the moment we stick it into Comic Sans, that adds an extra 10% of comedy.
Exactly.
Right there.
That is true.
That's like putting a fez on something. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is. Put a fez on it and it's funny. Even Nazis.
Liz Truss for the fez.
I don't know, actually. I think Liz Truss makes the fez look funnier.
Yeah,
I think that works a different way. The fez is going, I'm funny, but until I was wearing a Liz Truss, I'm really funny.
I can reveal that it is true. It was designed by somebody called Vincent Connor. He told The Guardian, what did he tell them? Having trouble changing my broadband to Sky, so wrote to them a letter in Comic Sans saying how disappointed I was, he told The Guardian. I got a £10 refund. Worth it, we guess.
Sorry, he invented a font just to write a letter of complaint.
I don't know that's the way I've that's the way this is written, but let's say yes because I can.
Gosh, I've never got. I mean, I don't usually make an effort to write a letter of complaint in the first place, but I'm certainly not going to go the extra mile and go. And now I only invent a font, so they know I'm going to take me really seriously with what I'm doing. And of course, it backfires because they read it in Comic Sans, go, "Oh, this is so funny. This is such a fake complaint." And he's like, damn you, Comic Sans." Freya.
It was a nice break from everything. Two men rescued after 29 days lost at sea.
They're saying it was a nice break.
From everything.
The 29 days. They had sex. I mean, there's no other way of interpreting that. They were having some joyous sex for 29 days. So the break they were talking about was from the humdrum of their heterosexual marriages. A nice break. 29 days. You're drinking your own piss. Surely, by day two, that's me and the other white fairy just chugging it down. Come on, everyone. 29 days. I mean, yeah, they must have just been delirious, surely, that they're going, oh, it's lovely.
But I mean, if you think about it, like that is, you know, 29 days, no news, no phones, you know, just vibes.
Are you speaking for your generation, Fred? Are you just, like, just a break from social media, it's all I ask for. All right, I may get dysentery. Maybe that's the thing, though. Maybe it's just that the 29 days, maybe that's significant. Maybe you go through a period of sort of like, you know, I say starvation, you know, dehydrated will have you the first week and you're panicking and you're fearful. Second week, though, you suddenly go, ah, actually, it's all right, this. And then you start going the other way.
If you like sushi, Charlene, you know.
Yeah, a lot of sushi.
We're in this sort of Ray Mears territory here, and they sort of go out and maroon themselves somewhere and say, well, you know, you can drink kangaroo piss and eat, you know, vole droppings. And I was saying, yeah, but you don't really need to be there. So why don't you just stay at home?
Drink your kangaroo piss at home, can't you?
Yeah, but exactly. And who are these programs aimed at? It baffles me.
I like the idea after 29 days, though, these guys, yeah, the rescue vessels coming along and they see them. They're on a raft. Yeah, go away, go away. And they're doing a little conga line too. That was a great time. I thought they were waving for help, but they're doing a Mexican wave.
I gotta go false. I don't think I could cope with 29 days on a boat. No way. No.
It's on a boat with another person. I think that's
exactly. Exactly.
29 days by yourself.
That'd be okay.
Some work done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this has got to be false for me.
Oh, true. Yeah.
It was you, wasn't it?
It was me.
me and Bruce, because I think it's true as well.
The two of you together.
It was us, wasn't it?
Yeah. Lovely break.
Yeah, it was true. And it was around the time, it was around the beginning of the pandemic. So they actually got rescued and then they came back and like, turns out COVID was going on and they were like, oh, we didn't even know. But like, they were so mellow, the whole thing. They were like, they survived on oranges and coconuts from the sea and rainwater that they collected, and they floated about 400 kilometres.
What? Hold on. They survived on oranges. Did they have like a Waitrose next to them in the ocean?
No, they packed oranges.
What? They packed 29 days worth of oranges on the off chart.
No, they had a segment a day.
See, I'm now suspicious that one of them deliberately manufactured, you know, that they got lost at sea for 29 days. The other one's panicking and the other one's like, oh no, I've packed 29 days of oranges. You're like, no, really?
Hang on a minute.
These just weren't just oranges. These were...
I've packed a month's worth of condoms and lubrication. Yeah. You've done what? I'm just saying. Just on the off chance.
You wouldn't mind slipping into these lederhosen, would you?
This is the worst pedalo trip I've ever been on.
this line about coconuts from the sea. I've been to the sea a lot, and I don't think I have ever seen a coconut.
It's a big, they are big oceans, aren't they? And it's not to say there aren't coconuts out there, but the idea that you'd constantly be running into coconuts.
That's actually a really good point.
Were they following a vessel that was just hurling coconuts off the side, like seagulls going, oh, this is handy. Coconuts and oranges.
Unless it was just off that island where Donkey Kong lives, then I believe it.
Yes,
that would work.
Ian, what's your story?
Experts believe that Jesus may have used cannabis oil to perform his miracles. Author David Beinstock, who is also the editor of the High Times magazine, believes that cannabis was widely available during Jesus's era 2,000 years ago. He also believes that cannabis was used across the Middle East to treat various ailments and illnesses.
Didn't he cure leprosy? I'm not sure cannabis cures leprosy. I mean, unless you just go to the, you know, unless the leper is just high as a kite after that, thanks to the cannabis. He just goes, it doesn't matter that my leg fell off. I don't care.
Whatever. It's good for joints.
All the miracles are down to cannabis.
Well, not necessarily all of them, but I mean, it makes you wonder whether the feeding of the 5,000 was just a major case of munchies.
Munchies.
So they just kind of describing him now as like the dude.
Yeah.
I just don't know that all the miracles can be explained away. You know, things like walking on water. I don't care how relaxed you are with cannabis, you're going to sink.
No. Surely the point is you'd think that you'd walked on water.
So he was just bragging.
He was in
to
a
people.
Puddle.
It just may not be explicit as to how deep the water actually is. Really,
It's really deep, man.
Yeah. True, obviously.
I'm actually going to say it's false. I think this is a conspiracy by Big CBD.
Well, I'm going to go true.
It is true. If you want the recipe to make this stuff, it's in Exodus 30, 22 to 25.
So, Bruce, what was yours?
Obesity of a country's politicians may be a good indicator of the country's corruption. And I think, would that apply to us? Well, you know, Boris has quite a high BMI.
Yeah.
But he did say he was going to be tough on corruption and tough on the causes of corruption, I think.
He said he was going to be tough on obesity as well. So
yes, which is why Weight Watchers is probably the least corrupt organisation in the world.
I think Boris said he was going to be tough on contraception and the causes of contraception. I think you're misquoting him there. So Imelda Marcos wasn't just buying the shoes, she was eating them.
Yeah.
Well, basically, was she corrupt? Didn't she get the money from her rather plump husband? I think she did, really.
Mm.
Well, all right. So there's a correlation with politicians, but does that extend to the rest of us? Am I more corrupt now that I've gotten a few pounds over?
No, because you're not a politician, you see. So, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Just works with politicians.
It's just gluttony on my part.
I would actually say you are more corrupt.
Thank you, Freya, for that vote of confidence. So if you elect a prime minister, or president, what have you, and they're initially skinny, but they start putting on the pounds, should you then be checking to see where the money's going?
Exactly, yes. That's it, really, yes.
And if you elect a fat one, but they become thin, does that imply...
They've had a chastening experience.
Yeah, they've discovered ethics.
Maybe. Or somebody's got Polaroids of them somewhere.
Yeah. Gandhi was thin.
Yes.
But was,
I think there was something else to do with that. Possibly the hunger strikes. But we're saying, no, It's the ethics.
To be specific, this was obviously in post-Soviet countries. I don't know if it applies outside. Chairman Mao was very plump. Was he corrupt? Oh, possibly.
This makes no sense to me anyway. No. So a stupid story and you're a stupid man for bringing it, says Bruce.
I got to go true.
True.
Sorry, fat people everywhere. We don't trust you. You're a shifty bunch.
No, politicians.
Only politicians. Just politicians.
Yeah. Only politicians. Do they suddenly, when they're out of office, do they then suddenly become...
Do what they want. Eat what the hell they like. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
False.
Because...
I've actually forgotten what the headline was.
fat people bad.
Oh, fat people.
It's basically what Bruce is doing. He's fat shaming prime ministers.
Oh, false. Because I think I personally get less corrupt when I'm a bit fatter. Yeah.
In fact, we get jollier, we get fatter.
Surely yeah, I get much jollier.
Santa Claus.
I didn't say they weren't jolly. I mean, Boris Johnson could be regarded as jolly, but plump he certainly is. Was true. It was a study done, and they looked at photos and measured their body mass index, and they discovered that, and looked at the corruption levels in the country, and it was actually true. There was a correlation between corruption and the obesity of the politicians, or the BMI of the politicians.
Well, that's an incredible poker tell, though, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's really obvious to everyone. It's not like a little twitch. They're just like clinically obese. You're going, it's him. He stole everything. You can see.
Did we have a case in point? Not so much for the corruption, but didn't Nicholas Soames went from gargantuan to really small? He must have had a Damascene moment somewhere along the line.
Or worms. Yeah. The two options you get in life. You can get ethical or you get worms. Finally, we reach the magic eight ball.
The magic eight ball!
Each of our guests is going to give us their predictions for next month's news.
Boris Johnson admits to running through a field of barley, I can imagine. Swiftly followed by a select committee discovers it was actually wheat and not barley.
Truss hopeful her first clue to be delivered to number 10 before September the 5th.
I think that Liz Truss admits to importing 2/3 of cheese herself. I think that that's what's going to happen.
I know Liz is featuring a lot tonight's episode. I should point out there are other candidates available, just none quite as funny, which is the reason that we're fixating on her.
Yeah, not wishing to go against the type. Hundreds of Dalmatian puppies go missing in the city of Westminster after the new PM takes residence.
And that brings us to the end of the episode. And I can reveal this month's winner is anyone who's been stockpiling ice lollies. I'd like to thank our guests, Chip Chase.
Thank you very much.
Freddy.
Thank you.
The Bruce Meister.
Thank you very much.
And Ian Searle.
Thank you.
And I leave you with these headlines. LinkedIn can't keep up with cabinet reshuffle. Climate change protest called off due to nice beach weather. And statue of Johnson to be sighted next to Thatcher's to save on eggs.
You've been listening to News Biscuit, free to read and free to write for. We accept submissions from any budding satirist, young or old. Visit newsbiscuit.com to submit headlines, stories, and to support new writers.
News Biscuit. Real fake news.
I'm actually off now. Bye.
Bye. That's it. Well, yeah, no, you're done. Yeah, no, I'm gonna edit that phrase in at the start of the episode, Freya. Make you come across as a complete ass.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
Here's Freya. No, I'm off. Fuck you all. Bye.